MashaAllah, my respected brothers, we make a humble appeal. Brothers in the Etikaf area that are not sleeping, we humbly appeal that please let us try and come for the Ijtimai Amal. Brothers that are on the second level, third level, Alhamdulillah, Masjid al-Hilal used to be Admiral Hotel, so Allah Ta'ala has brought a lot of khair and barakat to this place, but the design is such that there are a lot of nooks, crevices, corners. So, with a little bit of love, muhabbat, affection, we can try and encourage the brothers from wherever they are. We don't know if we're going to get these opportunities again. These are very, very Mubarak nights. So brothers, please, Etikaf area, the sound is also traveling here. We make a humble appeal to you. And let us try and take part in the Ijtimai Amal. Or alternatively, if we're very, very tired, we can be sleeping, but then we should not be involved in anything else. Very, very important aspect and part of our deen is what we call adab and etiquette. Today with modern technology, a voice will reach. Live streaming and all these other technological capabilities for the deliverance of sound is there. But if you want the noor of the gathering, then the first condition is adab and etiquette. And adab and etiquette contained in that is talab, desire. It's a very, very lengthy topic, but just one incident I'm going to mention which gives you little bit of a glimpse as to how we should sit in the talk of deen. When I say sometimes an incident gives you, just by picturing that, it speaks volumes. Like Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi in his virtues of Salat ala Nabi Sallallahu Alayhi Wasallam, his virtues of Madina Sharif, his virtues of Durood Sharif. I'm digressing, but a lot of people come and say, Maulana, you know, you're going for Hajj, you're going for Umrah, give some advice. Probably one of the best advice you can give to anybody who's going for Hajj and Umrah is to make ta'aleem of Hazrat Shaykh's virtues of Hajj and Umrah. So it creates the shauk and the talab and the value of that Mubarak place. But in any case, in that, in the virtues of Madina Munawara, he mentions a great deal of etiquette, how we should approach Madina as we go closer, our shauk, inclination, love, etc. for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he should be increasing. And then he mentions one couplet, Persian couplet. So obviously I'm not going to mention the Persian now, but the crux of the couplet was that if we truly loved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and appreciation for him was true, then we would not need to read any adab or etiquette. That love itself would teach us how to behave. So this incident which I'm mentioning is along a similar line. That if we can visualize this, this will teach us how to sit in the gathering of deen. It's mentioned once, Azma Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, that time Nizamuddin was very simple. There wasn't a lot of rooms and so on. And Azhar Maulana would live in a room next to the masjid. So one day, the Mewatis are from villages in India, they're very simple people, but they had a great deal of love and devotion and affection for Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali. They would call him Hazrat Ji. And they felt that he was their link who had taken them out from far away from deen, from a life of shirk and bid'at, and brought them closer to deen. So because of that deeni nisbat and association that they had with Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayhi, they would love him tremendously. Great deal of devotion for him. So one day he came out of the room where he stays into the masjid, Banglawali Masjid. That's the name of the masjid in Nizamuddin. So the moment he came in, that time the Mewatis were sitting and making ta'aleem. So out of their respect and reverence, Hazrat Aage Hazrat Ji has come. They stopped the Taaleem. And one or two actually stood up out of respect for him. He became very, very upset and angry. And then he said something, and this is along the lines of what Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali said, that if the love was true and sincere, then there would be no need to make bayan of any etiquette or adab. The love would teach us how to behave. He said, then I want to ask you people one question. That instead of a kitab, at the moment you're reading from a kitab, and in that kitab is written there, An Jabir radiallahu anhu, An Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, Aisha radiallahu anha. We have heard from Aisha radiallahu anhu, Jabir radiallahu anhu, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, whoever, Sahaba. That they are saying that we heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, and then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, Qala an-Nabiyyu sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he said, this ta'aleem that you are making, that is what you are reading. I said, instead of that kitab, I want to ask you people one question, that if Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself was saying this directly to you, not 14 centuries later, I heard who heard in Sanad, we find that, alhamdulillah, the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are protected. It's like a protected fortress because of Sanad, chain of narration. Instead of that chain of narration, if the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself was sitting here and speaking to you, and I, in other words, Mawlana Ilyas, happened to walk in, would you have interrupted what you were doing and stood up out of respect for me? So they said, obviously, if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself was here and he was speaking to us, then we would have been wrapped, our attention would have been wrapped upon him. And we would not have disturbed that majlis for any reason. So Mawlana Ilyas rahmatullahi alayhi then said, he said, after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sit in the talks of deen as if the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself is speaking to you directly. How you would sit in front of him, what kind of devotion you would show to his words, the respect you would accord, after he has left us, that is his legacy which he left behind. Physically he's not here. But the legacy that he left behind, the ruhani legacy that he left behind for you and I, that is by Abu Huraira when he went in the market of Banina, what did he say? He said Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's inheritance is being distributed in the masjid. He told Sahaba that. They thought money. Because they were in a bazaar environment. When they came to a masjid, what did they find? They found the same gatherings. Where the words, the talimat, the teachings, the words of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam were being disseminated. That is your and my link to him. That is the legacy that he left behind, the miras that he left behind. And we are supposed to show that, if we want the noor of it, if you want the noor of it, then sit in the talk of deen. Sit in the talk of deen as if the Rasul of Allah is speaking to you directly, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How you would, and nobody would be scratching his back and looking around. And like today, mashallah, like I said, with all these technological gadgets now that we've got, live streaming, someone is cooking, someone is sweeping, someone is going toilet also. And Qala Allah, Qala Rasul is going on in the background. Great deal of information will spread. But that information will not, illa mashallah, translate itself into the noor of amal. Because for the noor of amal, this is a requirement, adab. Today, unfortunately, many of us, we are now starting to equate these two things. Equate the live streaming, equate relaxing, sitting somewhere at home. I don't need to go masjid anymore to now, because the talk is coming there. Yes, the information is coming. The noor of that talk, the ruhaniyat of it, for that, adab. Adab. Man uqiba bi hirmanil adab. Ulama say, that person who Allah puts in a saza and a test, that he is deprived of adab and etiquette, he will be deprived of the whole of sunnah and the whole of deen also. very, very important. That is why our Akabirin encouraged us, Mujahada, leave the comfort, sit with a little bit of Mujahada. So there's one incident, in fact you can write volumes about what Maulana Ilyas Sahab Rahmatullah Ali said. So as far as possible, we should keep these things in mind, inshallah. We were reading from the letters of Hazrat Maulana Sayyid Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. There's one very interesting observation Hazrat Maulana made, which when we were, I think Ghaliban our Jamaat was in Pretoria, and we delved on this, touched on this, and I think it's pertinent, so don't know if we get this life, an opportunity again and chance, so I felt it's worth reading again. Hazrat Maulana touched on one aspect that today we notice gradually. There is a very, very acute sense of apathy in the Muslim Ummah today when it comes to this issue of ta'aleem, what we call learning and teaching. And we see our Akabirin of Tabligh also, Hazrat Maulana Ibrahim Dawla Sahib particularly, Daun Barakatu, recently 95, 96 years of age. Many, many of his advices and bayanat, he is stressing a great deal on this. Because Allah has given them that basirat and insight that they can see. They are like our spiritual doctors. They can see what is the need of the ummah and what is happening. And we have to understand that, as Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi said, he said, لَيْ يُسْلِحَ آخِرُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ إِلَّا بِمَا صَلُحَ بِهِ أَوَّلُهَا. Allah will make the islah and the reformation of the last section of this ummah on exactly that pattern in which the first section of the ummah's islah took place. That's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, إِنَّ الدِّينَ بَدَأَ غَرِيبًا وَسَيَعُودُ كَمَا بَدَأَ. He said, when my deen started, it was strange, it will once again become strange. So in all these ahadith also and aqwal of the aslaf, there is this ishara that as the ummah sinks further and further and further away from Qarni Ula, the need of the reformation will, the requirement will be to revert back to the original. We find that with the passage of time, certain things were introduced because of the necessities of that time. Unfortunately, many of us have developed this mindset that those things which were introduced afterwards because of necessities of time, we are now clinging to them as if they are the original. And when the original is being put in front, we feel somehow or the other that what we are considering now, which was introduced out of a necessity, we feel that the original now is somehow attacking the necessity and it is in conflict with it. Whereas that is because of a lack of understanding. In any case, those are very deep topics. We're not going to go into that now. But this is reading from Maulana's letter. This issue of the importance of adult education. Dini ta'aleem for adults. The ummah owes a very, very great debt to Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayh. That this very, very important aspect of the work of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was revived on his hands. That the ummah was reminded that the actual madrasa is supposed to be for adults. This daily ta'lim in the masjid, that's the closest namuna or example to what we call adult madrasa. And the daily ta'lim that we're supposed to be having at home, which illa mashallah is not really taking place in our homes, is an attempt to revive what was in the homes of Madina Munawwara in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Hazrat Maulana writes on this topic in a letter, our heartfelt desire was that you be totally free and give your individual attention towards this mission of dawah, thereby rendering yourself a medium for the dissemination of deen within the ummah. On account of your barakah, who knows how many countries will consequently establish madrasas for their children. Today, the Quranic sequence and techniques have undergone dramatic changes, leading to numerous hurdles in the dissemination of deen. The teaching methods applied by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam have long been abandoned. The teaching methods applied by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam have long been abandoned. As a result, adults, tradesmen, landlords, leaders, clerks, factory workers, laborers, and the rest of the various vocational groups are deprived of deen. The Holy Quran chiefly compels the adults, balighin, or mature people to adhere to its ordinances. It was mainly the adults comprising of tradesmen, orchard owners and the like, whom Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam summoned to Masjid al-Nabawi and formed groups, halqas, for the sole purpose of learning and teaching deen. There was no special halqa group of children, because generally only mature people who are the responsible guardians of home are in a capacity to implement the injunctions of deen in their businesses, in their homes, and in the world at large. This was the technique employed to convey deen to the world and to bring Islam into the lifestyles of the people. As a result, even their businesses were transformed into deeni and Islamic activities, as was the atmosphere surrounding their homes. Rasulullah ﷺ implemented a very simple method of imparting deeni education to children, a method in which no money was spent, no madrasas constructed, nor was there a need for soliciting funds, a unique and preeminent system encompassing virtually everyone. For instance, let us take the case of a comprehensive hadith. The Sahaba would memorize this hadith in Masjid al-Nabawi, and on their return home, they would teach this hadith to their housefolk and children. They were the students in the masjid, but returned home as teachers. Sahaba's homes assumed the role of religious institutes and madrasas. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't order the Sahaba to busy themselves in their orchards and send their children to him to learn. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't order the Sahaba to busy themselves in their orchards like the fathers of the ummah today are doing, busy in the business and sending their children to the masjid to learn deen. This was not what the system that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't order the Sahaba to busy themselves in their orchards and send their children to him to learn. In our current system of education, the addressees of the Quran, the adults, are left aside because of their so-called preoccupation and lack of time. Our system requires us to ask for their children, their wages, as well as funds to establish these madaris. This system is detrimental in three ways. One, firstly, deen failed to reach the homes. On the contrary, un-Islamic trends found their way through. Number two, secondly, ulama who were once unfettered and free are now subjected to the whims and fancies of the businessman, landlord, and those who are miles away from deen. The employment and dismissal of madaris staff lies in their hands. In former times, the madaris were under the control of senior mashayikh and ulama who were cognizant of the status and value of the teachers and students. This ensured a rapid spreading of deen together with an upsurge of deeni sentiments at the same time. Three, the third harm is that what ought to have been subjected to ruhaniyat, spiritualism, is now being subjected to materialism. The teachers as well as the students consider themselves more in need of materialism than spiritualism. This is why they have subjugated themselves to the materialists, flattering and wheedling them. They tend to honor the materialists more than the spiritualists simply because they are either deriving or hope to derive material benefit from them. They won't respect a hafiz of the Quran as they would respect a businessman, whereas a hafiz enjoys a status much more superior than all the businessmen of the world. These are a few of the basic harms besides the subsidiary harms this system entails. As a consequence to this, the hearts of the people of ilm and deen have disunited and they have become disgusted with one another. The pursuits of high posts and wealth has dominated their hearts. Another harm caused by this system is that the affinity of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they once cherished on the grounds of these religious faculties, has waned considerably. By attributing these faculties to themselves or to their seniors, they have sown the seeds of prejudice subsequently, leading to an exchange of hostilities between their ranks. The attributes which ilm should have inculcated within them, such as the attributes of taqwa, tawakkul, asceticism, contentment, patience and gratitude, truthfulness and loyalty, justice, the love for Allah and the love for His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are all on the decline, simultaneously making way for evil attributes. All this came about simply because the Quranic techniques and prophetic trends were discarded. These techniques can only be reinstituted by extensive and unrestricted dawah work. The dawah of all the Anbiya and their leader Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was of an all-encompassing nature, embracing all and sundry. The techniques as well as the adab, etiquettes were embracing. As a result, all the various dini faculties engendered encompassing attributes. From a king to a pauper, from an erudite scholar to an ordinary layman, to an illiterate person, every single individual was adorned with these outstanding attributes. The caliphate, which enjoys a higher status than monarchism, was on the pinnacle of sublime attributes thanks to the mission of dawah. Ultimately, as the all-encompassing field of dawah started confining itself to restricted limits, and its fundamental principles replaced with other progressive methods, the spirit of physical and pecuniary sacrifices concurrently suffered a great hitch. As a result, the forces of batil, as evident today, are the dominating forces of the world, whilst the people of haq are subjected to their system of batil as well. The same is the case with all religious institutes. All of them are under the sway of batil. This is startlingly evident from the fact that government consent is a prerequisite for the establishment of any madrasa or masjid, and this government is subject to a batil system. Furthermore, children attending English or French schools and colleges in the morning generally attend these madaris and religious institutes in the afternoons. Their social life remains English and un-Islamic. Even the home environment fails to bring about an Islamic atmosphere simply because they attend their schools and colleges every morning subjected to the system and etiquette that institution demands. As a result, they remain like them in terms of their dressing, their sporting activities, their eating habits and so forth. They pursue the knowledge of the batil forces subjected to a system of batil and inculcate the habits of batil as well. Now when they return to the religious institutes in the afternoon, the institutes fail to influence the students. The institutes fail to influence the students with their own culture and habits. They fail to compel the students to remove their college clothing and adopt an Islamic code of dress. You should teach them to eat also in an Islamic way and inculcate in them the habit of sitting on the floor and reciting the Holy Quran. This ensures that the child understands that what we have with us is our personal Islamic way of life revealed to us by Allah, whilst theirs is a fabricated, batil, false way of life. Islamic way of life guarantees us entry into paradise, while the life of batil will drag us into hell. The Islamic system teaches us humility, whereas batil teaches us pride. Islamic ethics impart mutual love and affection, while the ethics of batil are bound to lead to enmity and malice. Islamic value teaches us to honor all human rights, while the values of batil teach us selfishness and indolence. The Islamic way of life inculcates oneness of Allah and devotion to one Allah, whereas batil way of life teaches us self-indulgence and how to pursue our carnal desires. If the students become conscious of these facts, they will be able to adhere to the correct teachings of Islam and give preference to the culture of Islam over the culture of batil. However, since the object is to heedlessly pass the time and receive remuneration therefrom, the chances of this becoming a reality are very remote. I am not implying that educating young children should be abandoned, but what I mean is that the emphasis, concern and supervision we award to our children's education should be multiplied tenfold in favor of adult education, simply because the universal establishment of deen is solely dependent upon adults. They will be the only ones who adopt the system of Islam in all walks of life. This becomes startlingly clear when we see religiousness and piety coming into businessmen and landowners taking part in the mission of dawah, because their concern of the hereafter is not centered around them only, but they are concerned about the entire ummah. and aspire to take everyone with them into paradise. In any case, these are Maulana's observations. Many of them, unfortunately, we can see are startlingly relevant to our situation. The main point which Hazrat Maulana is making in these observations is this general sense of apathy which has overtaken the Ummah so far as learning deen being the domain of little children. The system which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used was the adults learned deen and they took that deen to their homes and taught their children. Today we feel it is the job of some institution or some madrasa to teach, bring Islam in our children. Quran and Hadith does not teach us that. Quran and Hadith requires us to learn deen. If you look at the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the section of Hayat al-Sahaba, Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, in his Hayat al-Sahaba, he is in fact devoted and entire chapter to this. I'm just trying to find the section that we have. The 13th chapter of Hayat al-Sahaba, Babu al-Thalith Ashar, runs into several hundred pages, in which Maulana Yusuf Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh has given it the heading, Babu Kayfa Kana al-Nabiyyu Sallallahu Alayhi Wasallam wa Ashabuhu Yarghabuna fil Ilm al-Ilahi. The manner in which Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alayhi Wasallam and his Sahaba had shauq, raghbat and inclination to acquire the knowledge of deen. This is very, very important, and our akabirin are greatly stressing upon this. This third point of tabligh, ilm and zikr, ilm and zikr, ilm and zikr. Sahaba, the adults among them, each one had shauq to learn deen, and the jazba of dawah was ingrained in them. So whatever they learned, they passed it on. And this is what is meant. بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. Rasulullah said, make tabligh. Make tabligh from me even if you know one ayat. Whatever we learn. And such jewels are there. It's not difficult. Like the other day, I mentioned the hadith which I came across. مَا عَلَىٰ عَلَىٰ الْأَرْضِ أَحَدٌ. Rasulullah said, there is no one on the earth who says, La ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. There is no one on the earth who says, La ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. Now how long does it take to learn that? La ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. My Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, anyone who says that, illa kaffarat khatayahu walau kana mithlu zabadil bahr. Allah will forgive all his sins, even if his sins be as many as the foam of the waves of the ocean. And this is tabligh, to learn this. And then, Bible of Sahab Rahmatullah alayhi to say, meet not 25 people, 25 times give da'wat. And what is da'wat? Da'wat is these fazail. When you talk of the virtue of kalima, this is virtue of kalima. Not only that if you read la ilaha illallah 100 times a day, your face will shine like the 14th full moon. Somebody is in tabligh last 10 years. MashaAllah is giving 4 months every year to you. Ask him, by what's the virtue of kalima? Read the kalima la ilaha illallah 100 times, your face will shine like the 14th full moon. As if there's no other virtue. A dai is supposed to, fadail, virtues are supposed to, that's his weapon system. He should have a quiver full of arrows. When you look at somebody, when you go in gush, when you look at somebody, by when you were in your house and you decided that time that I want to go to the masjid, what is Allah giving you? When you made wuzu thereafter, for every washing, before you made wuzu, you read Bismillah, what Allah gave you. When you washed your limbs, what Allah gave you. When you made miswak, what Allah gave you. When you left your house, what Allah gave you. Every step you took coming to the masjid, what Allah is giving you. You read the dua before entering the masjid, what Allah gave you. You entered the masjid, what Allah gave you. You sent salawat on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what Allah gave you. You read two rakat tahiyatul masjid, what Allah gave you. Now you came into the masjid, you read namaz behind the imam, what Allah gave you. And after that salah, you are sitting in the talk of deen and waiting for the next salah, what is Allah giving you? Every one of these virtues is there in Fazail Amal. But the shock and the inclination to learn this is not there in the Ummah. How is the conviction of these Amal going to come? For example, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, fast in Ramadan. He didn't say, Man sama Ramadanan imanan wa ihtisaban. Two conditions. One is iman. We know we have to have iman. Ihtisaban. The conviction and the hope that Allah is going to give you the reward. If you don't know the reward, how are you going to have the conviction and hope of getting that reward? So in other words, the importance of learning. By every day we should be learning. Doesn't mean that now I'm past the madrasa stage or maktab stage, that I don't need to be learning anymore. This goes against the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whole 13 chapter, one entire chapter, as the Mawlana Sahib Rahmatullah Ali devotes just to this. So, in case from that chapter, I'm reading one incident, and particularly incident of a very, very old Sahabi. Why old? Because many of us, this is the game that Shaitan plays with us. What is the game? That, mashallah, you are old now. So, brain cells are dead, past the sell-by date. Things are not working now. Early stage dementia. So you are okay, you don't need to learn. This is a game which Shaitan plays. Jazba of Sahaba, right till the end they had jazba to learn deen. And like I said, they didn't just learn, they made tabligh. And that is how your deen is refreshed. That is how your knowledge is refreshed, by giving dawah of the same knowledge. Learn and teach, da'wah and tabligh, ilm and tabligh. And by giving da'wah, we will bring it into our life. And that is zikr. Kullu muti'in zakir. Kullu muti'in zakir. Everyone who obeys is zakir. That is ain zikr. To implement what we know. Why? Because to implement for that, yaqeen is required. Yaqeen in the knowledge. And this is where we get the objective of the halqa of ta'lim. Akhraja Ahmad and Khabisa ibn al-Mukhariq. The name of the sahabi is Khabisa bin Mukhariq. We may have heard this incident before, but like I said, I mentioning this particular incident because of the fact that he was a very old sahabi. Qala ataytu an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Himself he narrates. He says, I came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw me, and then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked me one question. What was the question? Ma ja'a bik. Khabisa, why have you come? Not because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't know. He knew why this person came. Then in a basirat Allah had given him. He knew why this person came. Elderly sahabi came to him. Why did Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ask this question? Question was asked so that the virtue of what he is doing could come in front of the ummah. If Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't ask this question, that virtue would not have come in front. So, ma ja'a bik. Khabisa, why have you come? Look at the answer he gives. Qultu. He said, I told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kabira sinni. I am very old. Raqqa azmi. My bones have become frail and bent. So he's already outlining, I am on the boundaries of sterility. I'm old now. Sinai, boundaries of senility. Ataituka, I have come to you in this condition. لِتُعَلِّمَنِي مَا يَنْفَعُنِ اللَّهُ بِي, to teach me deen. Teach me something that will benefit me. Sahaba's jazba was right till the end. Right till the end. This man is saying, my bones are frail and bent. رَقَّبْ عَزْمِي كَبِرَ سِنِّي, I'm at advanced age. Ya Rasulullah, I've come, لِتُعَلِّمَنِي, I have come for dini ta'lim, I came to learn. So what does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This was the mizaj of nubuwat, the shafaqa of nubuwat. That before dealing with what he came with, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling him what Allah is giving you. That when you, if you came with this intention, Khabisa, you came with this intention, then let me tell you, مَا مَرَّرْتَ بِحَجَرْ وَلَا شَجَرْ وَلَا مَدَرْ إِلَّا اسْتَغْفَرَ لَكَ يَا قَبِيسَ. Qabisa, when you made this intention to come to me to learn deen, every tree that you passed, every stone that you passed, every sand clump that you passed, made dua of maghfirat to you, for you to Allah. Asked Allah for your forgiveness. So anyone who leaves his house to come to the masjid for the halqa of ta'aleem, every tree, every stone that he passes will make dua maghfirat for him. So don't take the halqa of ta'aleem lightly. Walk to your home with that intention to establish ta'aleem. Every day you do that. Every day that you do that, every makhluk of Allah is making dua maghfirat for you. So look at the loss that the ummah. Today we're going home with what jazba? Allah save us. Some are hooked on the shaitan box. Some got the internet, some got this, some got that. All sorts of things we're going home. And when our children are there in front of us, to distract them, we give them the mobile phone. Why not sit in ta'aleem in the masjid 15, 20 minutes after Isha? Then when the child, instead of distracting the child with that mobile phone or some techno gadget, relay to the child what you learned in the ta'aleem. Where is that jazba today in the ummah? Where is even the ihsas that I heard this, I must teach this to my wife, or I must teach this to my children? Leave the rest of the ummah. We don't have the fikr for our own families. This is how far away the ummah has drifted. And this is, as the Mawlana Yusuf Rahmatullahi is opening up for us, Ain Medina. What was Medina? What does it mean to say, May Ashika Rasulu, following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What does it mean? What are we actually following? What we think we're following, or what actually was going on? So these incidents are there to show us what was Medina Munawwara. Today we are too busy attacking and too busy in a lot of other things. Deen is simple. Come back to the simple deen. And then, Allahu Akbar. Today, this is another thing, I'm digressing. A lot of time people come with questions. You know, Maulana, I got this question, I got that question. And when you decide to entertain the question, after that you want to read Turaka's Namaz Toba, that why did I entertain this question? Because the question will be totally irrelevant. Suddenly you decided you want to learn deen, and then instead of learning practical things that you can make tabligh of, the man is asking some strange things. That is why, learn what is beneficial. Don't get caught in a shaitani trap of getting involved in things that are totally not beneficial. Like late Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah, I always give this example. Say the one person came with the Maulana, he said, I got a question. I asked, what's the question? He said, you know what? There were three couples. They were on a journey. So they got waylaid by a highway robber. And what he did is that he attacked them, stole all their possessions, and killed all of them. Three couples. Cut all the heads off. Put the heads on one side, put the bodies on the other side. A little while later, when Allah was passing by, so he saw this grotesque scene. Six decapitated bodies and the heads lying on one side. He felt very hurt. So he made turakat salah, made dua to Allah. He was a great wali of Allah. So after making dua, he took each head and attached it to the body. But because he didn't know the people, he put the head of A on the body of B, and the head of B on the body of C. So now the question, these people came back alive through the barakat of the dua. What's the situation with their nikah? So the person that was asked the question said, "Bhai, when such a thing actually happens, that time come and ask." In other words, totally, this is not, may seem humorous, but this is a reality. That instead of getting involved in what we're supposed to be doing, we'll be asking totally irrelevant things. This Sahabi presents his situation to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. "I'm very old. I am frail. I came to learn deen." Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam already takes into account all that. And he teaches him something that is pertinent to his condition. So be very careful where you take your deen from. Don't look for complex things. A lot of times, you know what, fazail-e-amal, find something else. I need something new. What new are you looking for, bhai? You're looking for entertainment. Like I said, you meet the person in his house till he enters the mosque. Everything, as the Sheikh has mentioned there, what Allah is going to give. Bring that in the ummah first. Bring that in your own life. Are you making salah in the first saf? Takbir-e-ula, what's the importance in your life? It's not information. Yaqeen. The reality of it. And very, very important, the tabligh of it. And if it is not there in the ummah, to feel the pain. Feel the pain. We're looking for new things. The basic is not there in the ummah. The masjids are empty and we're looking for very complex things. So in any case, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allahu Akbar. You ask, you meet your elderly parents today. My mother, Allah elevate her, more often than not, whenever I'm going on safar, she's going, first question, she'll tell me, she'll say, "You know what, you're going in the path of Allah, make dua for me, Allah must save me from becoming muhtaj." How many of our old people? The moment you meet them, this is the first thing they'll be asking you. Because as a person goes older, he becomes more and more, naturally, more and more conscious of his mortality. And as the time is passing, this fear grows naturally within a person of being dependent on others. So that's why most of our old people, if you meet them, either buri maut se bacha de or muhtaj ki se bacha de. Allah save me from becoming dependent. Allah save me from debilitating illnesses. Allah save me from a bad death, etc. So this person came to Rasulullah and said, "Teach me something that will benefit me. I am very, very old. My bones have become frail and bent. I'm on the border of senility." So Rasulullah's knowledge was such that, like Wahab bin Munabbi says, "Inna Allah Ta'ala lam yu'ti jami' an-nas min badi ad-dunya ila inqida'iha min al-aqli fi jambi aqli illa ka habbati ramlin bayna rimal ad-dunya." He said, if the combined intelligence of every human being from Adam alayhi salam to the last person to come before Qiyamah had to be pooled together and equated to one grain of sand, the aql and intelligence of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be all the grains of sand on the earth. So he could have told this person something about Mars and Mercury and Saturn. Yet look at how the wisdom that Allah blessed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with. That is why there's one hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ulama say the whole of psychology is contained in this one hadith. Anzilun nas manazilahum. Address each person according to his capacity. Deal with each person on his level. So what does Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam teach him? Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to him, "Idha sallayta subha." Oh, Kabisa, when you read your Fajr Salah, and again here I'm digressing. Just the other night, one brother who's involved in education came to ask me one question. I said, this is something our Kabirin remind us of. They say, to understand hadith, and to understand the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's important that we isolate ourselves from the current circumstances. And always ask yourself this question. The people that first heard these words from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The people that first heard these words from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sahaba, in Madinah Munawwara, what did they understand? So this expression, for example, إِذَا صَلَّيْتَ الصُّبْحَ قَبِيسَ, when you read your Fajr namaz. Now in this hadith it is not mentioned Jamaat, not mentioned Masjid. But in what environment it said? It said in an environment where the person that is saying it, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said, I wanted to order the youth of Medina to gather firewood. I would put somebody on my musalla and I would go home to home, and if there was anyone making salah at home, I would burn that home down. He was rahmatul lil alameen. But he said, I would go, and he doesn't just say, fauharriquha, I will burn the home. He says, fauharriquha alayhim, I'll burn that home with the musalli inside. This is the actual literal translation of that hadith. فَأُحَرِّقُهَا عَلَيْهِمْ. So this is said in an environment where the open munafiq was in the masjid. There was no question of anybody making salah at home. وَلَوْ حَبْوَانْ comes in hadith that even the man who couldn't walk would crawl to the masjid. This is said in an environment where Abdullah bin Zayd where Abdullah bin Umm Maktum comes and says, Ya Rasulullah, at times I fall down, I get hurt, I am blind. Am I allowed to read my namaz at home? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells him, are you able to hear the azan? He says, yes. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, I can't find anything to excuse you from coming to the masjid. Blind man is told that. By rahmatul lil alameen. In that environment, the Sahabi is told, when you read your Fajr Salah. So what does it mean? It means Salah with Jamaat in the Masjid. In other words, this virtue that is mentioned, that is a pre-requirement. Even though the words are not there in the Hadith, that is exactly what it means. Because who heard it first and what did they understand? In what context and environment was it said? He said, if you knew what was Fajr Salah, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, mafhum the hadith, if you knew what was Fajr Salah and the only way you could get to the masjid was crawling on your hands and knees, you would crawl on your hands and knees and come to the masjid. This fikr, this worry, this real concern has to be in every one of our hearts. That Hilal of Eid is sighted tomorrow, or the next day, whenever Allah wants it to be sighted, or that next month will start. What is happening to our masjids? Where is the ummah? And where is our own family? Where is our youth? Today if you look in the masjid, stand in the back, one whole generation, ages 15 to 35, we've lost. And we don't even perceive the loss. There's an entire generation that is lost from the masjid. Whose worry is that? Carnage, what is going on in the world? Hardship the ummah is facing? Solution is the ummah has to come back to the masjid. Fir'aun slaughtered 70,000 defenseless, according to some riwayats, 70,000 defenseless babies of the Bani Israel. What was the revelation that came to Musa alayhi salam? What must you tell the Bani Israel to do? Ij'alu buyutakum qiblatan wa aqimus salah. This is not some fancy commentary I'm making. I'm reading the exact verse of the Quran. Go read the translation. If you don't know the Arabic language. Musa alayhi salam, in the face of such tyranny, women are being enslaved, children are being slaughtered, no one could say anything to Fir'aun. That level of oppression, in the face of that ummat was told, the Nabi of that time told that ummat. Then it was revealed in the Quran of this ummat. And then my Nabi said, you will have to follow that ummat. Like how one foot is put in another, that's how my ummat is going to follow that ummat. In other words, this is Allah's sunnah till qiyamah. What was that ummat told? Ij'alu buyutakum qiblatan wa aqimus salam. Tell them to establish salah in every home. Tell them to establish aqimus salah. They didn't have masjids. This ummah has got masjid. But they also were commanded this. This is not some, we looking for complex solutions. We want to fancy writings and this theory and that theory. There's no complex solution. Simple solution, right? This kalima namaz, kalima namaz, kalima namaz, kalima namaz. Another verse, they were told to build their iman. Alallahi tawakkalna. Build your iman, relationship with Allah and salah. Allah drowned the entire army of Fir'aun on the basis of that. In kalla, inna ma'ya rabbi, my Allah is with me. Fadrib biyasak al-bahar, strike the water with your stick. What was the foundation of that? We know the incident. He was drowned and all that. Read what the Quran tells us led to that. The Quran tells us two things led to that. Iman of the Bani Israel, connection with Allah was built and salah was established. The same thing that is being told today. And we find we're looking for something complex. These five amal of masjid, this bringing one ummati back to the masjid. If there was some other solution, then it would have been there in the Quran. So in any case, I digressed. Ya Qabisa, إِذَا صَلَّيْتَ الصُّبْحِ, when you read your Fajr Salah, obviously with Jamaat, فَقُلْ ثَلَاثًا, say three times. Again, not a lengthy thing. What did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam teach him? After Fajr Salah, say three times. Subhanallahil Azim wa bihamdihi. Subhanallahil Azim wa bihamdihi. This is the shafaqah of Rasulullah. He knew his ummah is weak. Juwayriya radiallahu anha, that famous incident. Allah's Rasulullah left her at the time of tahajjud, came back at the time of chash, sees that she is on her musalla. So work it out. How many hours was that? How many hours? 3-4 hours? 3-4 hours of zikr she was making. Radiallahu anha, Ummul Mu'mineen. He knew the rest of the ummah is not going to be of this level. Today, mashallah, we got no time. Very busy. Tell him, stand in the shop 12, 13 hours, no problem. That we got time for. Make zikr, read Quran so long, tilawat. So what did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tell her? Juwayriya, Allahu Akbar. Through the barakah of what he observed of hers, the ummah was given such a solution. If my ummah will make 4 tasbihs 3 times, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, adada khalqihi, wa ridha nafsihi, wa zinata arshihi, wa midada kalimati. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, adada khalqihi, wa ridha nafsihi, wa zinata arshihi, wa midada kalimati. He said, Juwayriya, my ummati that will say this 3 times from tahajjud till now, whatever reward Allah gave you, He will give it to that ummati. Such jewels we are depriving ourselves of from the ta'limat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by having destroyed this jazba of learning deen. Deen seekhne se aate hai, why? Deen seekhne se aate hai. Deen has to be learned. So in any case, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, Qabisa, read your Fajr Salah and then say 3 times, Subhanallahil Azim wa bihamdihi. Subhanallahil Azim wa bihamdihi. Subhanallahil Azim wa bihamdihi. What will happen? Tu'afa minal ama wal judham wal falij. Oh Qabisa, Allah will protect you from becoming blind. Allah will protect you from becoming blind. Allah will protect you from paralysis. Allah will protect you from debilitating illnesses. In other words, that same concern that every old person, as they get old, because what Kabisa said, my bones are frail, I am on the brink of senility, I've reached old age. Allah's Rasulullah went right, and that too not long. Subhanallah al-Azim wa bihamdihi 3 times. After your Fajr Salah with Jamaat, say Subhanallah al-Azim wa bihamdihi. What we'll say? put eye droplets so that your eyes get protected. Take this medication. Osteoporosis you might suffer from. Or you're going to suffer from this. These, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, put the ummah onto a'mal. A'mal, a'mal, a'mal. Build your connection with Allah. Build your connection with Allah. Have yaqeen on a'mal. Have yaqeen on a'mal. Then take your medication, no problem. But the yaqeen, conviction. Because when you would see a sick person, what would my Allahu Akbar, what was the dua? Allahumma Rabban Nas, you are the Rabb. Adhib al-Ba'as, remove the sickness. Ishfi, Ya Allah, give him shifa. And then, not just give him shifa. Not just give him shifa. Today we sing, Ya Allah, give shifa. Why the shifa is not coming? Because the rest of it is not there. What was it? Ishfi, Anta Shafi. La shifa illa shifa'u. Give him shifa. Why? Because you are the only one who gives shifa. And there is no shifa besides your shifa. And then shifa an la yugadiru saqma. Such a shifa, after which this illness will be completely removed. So, yaqeen of a'mal. This is zikr. Ilm and zikr. Ilm and zikr. This yaqeen. This implementation. This conviction on what we are learning. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on, he told him, Ya Qabisa, this latter part of the hadith, we're running out of time, so we're not going to go too much into detail now, is we learn one very important principle that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us when he came to dua, try and ask what we call jami'ud dua. Jami'ud dua means comprehensive dua. So he taught him with this another dua. Qul, say, Allahumma, Inni as'aluka mimma indak. Allahumma inni as'aluka mimma indak. O Allah, I ask from you for every goodness that is with you. Wa afidh alayya min fadlik. Over and above that, rain down upon me your fadl and virtue. What is this word fadl in this context would mean what? I'm asking you for everything that is by you that I know of. What I don't know of and you know from your fazl, give it to me. Wa afidh alayya min fadlik. Wanshur alayya min rahmatik. Let your mercy rain down upon me. Wa anzil alayya min barakatik. And send down upon me your barakat. Now if you look at this dua, when I spoke of comprehensive dua. Ya Allah, everything that is by with you. Over and above that, your fazl. Then your rahmat, then your barakat. So there's nothing left that you can ask for. Because everything is there. In Allah's rahmat, in Allah's barakat, in Allah's fazl is jannat, protection from jahannam, removal of worldly dependence, worries, depression. Everything is contained just in one dua. Which he taught this elderly sahabi, who came with this niyat and intention. Ya Rasulullah, I have come to learn deen. So, my respected brothers, we, particularly those that are in i'tikaf, those that are out in the path of Allah Ta'ala, I remember in the old days, 93, I'm calling it old days because I'm getting old also now too, but not like Suleiman, because the other day we were Suleiman in Nigeria, he's making dua, he says, Ya Allah, I'm going to die in 2 days' time. So I told him, Suleiman, take it easy, bhai, still, Lord work, Allah is still going to take from you. But, the reality, that's the reality. Aud nafsaka min ahli al-qubur. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, count yourself as if you are already in the grave. Count yourself as if you are already in the grave. What shaitan will tell you and I now? MashaAllah, very good. Make all the intentions. But you know what? There's no hurry. Take it easy. You got a lot of time. We don't have time. No hurry and take it easy, that's the deception. If it came in the heart, Ya Allah, I want to go for 4 months, don't delay. If it came in the heart, I want to start taking part in the daily mulaqats, join the masjid fikr. All these jazbah that we're hearing about and hearing about and hearing about in this environment. If it came in the heart, I want to establish talim in my home. If it came in the heart, I want to sit in the talim in the masjid. If it came in the heart, which inshallah it would have come, the need and requirement now, my respected brothers, is like tonight, in this night, this last, maybe last night, but the last odd night that we have of this year's Ramadan, beg from Allah. Beg from Allah. Ask Allah. Beseech Allah. Hearts are in your control. Hearts are in your control. Like wealth is from your treasures, tawfiq and of amal is also from your treasures. You give to whom you want, you take from whom you want. But, comes in the hadith, when Allah loves somebody, Allah gives wealth to those He loves, those He don't love also. This tawfiq, this jewel, Allah gives to only whom He loves. So make me amongst your beloved and grant me that without delay. So those brothers in whose heart it has come to go 4 months, say inshallah as soon as possible. Inshallah as soon as possible we'll go in the path of Allah. And if you're not ready for that immediately, at least this without delay, everyone from today inshallah, 5 times salah with jamaat, halqa of talim, and attach ourselves to the amal of masjid, our fikr of masjid, from whichever masjid we are in. From today inshallah, we attach and link ourselves to amal of masjid. All of us will do that inshallah. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallah.